Cliff Central.
Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the good stuff. Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindekew, the good things guy. And sitting right next to me is Kerry, the good news girl.
Good morning.
Hey, good news girl.
Good morning.
What's happening, yo?
Oh, nothing much. Nice and chilly on this rainy day.
What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's awesome. I love it.
Well, yeah, the weather has been a little bit crazy. I'm not sure what's going on. We could hashtag it as global warming. It's raining all over South Africa. There's a bunch of snow. There's floods. Wow, it's a little bit crazy. There's also our regular protests. There's crime. There's corruption. There's that incredibly ridiculous president. And then there's also the censorship, which we have to deal with. And we're not going to talk about any of that cuck, because that's not why we're here. We are here to bring you good news, inspiration, and really kick-ass stories. There's a lot going on in South Africa that we can focus on. Hashtag good news, happy stuff. I want to give you something to take to your water cooler at the office and actually have a conversation over that matters. Or at the dinner table when you're not Pokemon going.
Pokemon going.
Is that still a thing?
It's causing problems, okay?
I'm done with Pokemon Go. I've put it away. I've packed it away. I reached level 11, and I decided that I was done. I was like, I'm over this, man.
I'm really glad.
I'm done, yo.
I'm really, really glad.
But, I mean, it could just be today. It did just happen last night, so.
So it's still fresh, eh? They say it takes a little while for people to get rid of addictions. And
well, it is. It's like quitting smoking, right?
Exactly.
So I've put away my Pokemon Go. It's day one, and I will fill you in on day two and day three, and to see how far I make it. Anyway, this is the good stuff. It's Cliff Central's very own happy hour that you guys have tuned into. It's a weekly show that really aims to just bring a smile to your dials and give you something better to speak about. So Kerry and I will kick off the show with the top five good news stories. We hunt, we troll, we look for the best stories, the good stuff, the good news that's happening around in South Africa and the world, and we bring them to you so you don't even have to go look for them yourself. It's that simple that we make it. We also get to chat to Charmaine Rocha from, I hope it's Rocha. Sometimes my autocorrect does something crazy. It doesn't feel right. So we have Charmaine from Woodrock Animal Rescue, as well as Yaku and Lorraine from the Character Company. And then we also get to interview Rian and Vasti Mansa, who are in the middle of the ocean, busy kayaking to Hawaii.
For their honeymoon.
Yes. So, I mean, a lot happened. I heard that he hit his head and she had to bandage it up, and there was
really
a whole bunch of stuff going on.
So it's like a proper.
And it's
like
only the
show.
Two of them. It's unassisted.
It's like their own show.
Like their own show. So we're going to satellite call them all the way, halfway, a quarter of the way, not too sure how far away, to Hawaii, that they're on a little kayaking thingy. And then lastly, we get to catch up with the CEO of Sympathy Sleepouts.
Yeah.
Who we're going to get an update on what's going on. We've got like two nights left. And Damien Harry from Private Tuition is here to speak to us about what he's doing. I hope I got that right as well. It could be my auto correct. He's laughing at me. So maybe I got it wrong. I'm not even sure. We'll talk about it when we get him into studio. We've got lots going on. What a cool day to just be happy. If you guys want to get involved with the conversation, you can tweet us. It's Kerry Stain, or myself, Brent Lindekew, or CliffCentral.com, or you can give us a call on 0861-555-189. And I know that number off by heart. There's not even telling me nothing here.
No.
I spoke like
there
Yoda
isn't,
there.
And I'm looking for it as well. I'm like, well done.
Or you can get hold of us directly on WeChat. Our messages are open right here, so we've got that going on. Kerry, the weather, what the fuck is going on?
I know, I'm loving it. It's July, and it's raining, and it's cold, and it might snow here. Well, it's snowing everywhere else.
It's snowing everywhere else, and I went to bed last night actually hoping that I would wake up and it was white.
Okay, and well, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning to hail.
I was just about to say, if you, and I want you to take a photo of this and put it on our Twitter, but if you look outside the studio window, it looks like there's snow on the roof next door because there's all this hail.
And the satellite dish, when you came in, did you see the satellite dish for the next door?
Yeah.
They had to take the ice out of the satellite dish. It's like
otherwise no one would be able to hear us.
Exactly.
What?
It's so awesome, hey?
It is quite cool. It's cool weather not to be working, I think.
Well, someone said, what was my child's teacher this morning? She was like, are you going home now to get into bed? And I'm like, what?
On what planet?
Are you joking?
On what?
Because I'm like that mom that runs in tracksuits, right? Drop off and go. And she's like, are you going home now to get into bed? I'm like, no, I'm going home to get ready.
Oh, good Lord.
I know, right?
Yeah, so it would be better if we weren't working today, but this is not really work. To sit
I
on
work
air.
Better in this weather.
Do you do?
Yes, I'm a machine.
Kerry, what do you do besides all the charity work? Charity work.
And other stuff.
Okay, like so I mean...
Marketing, PR...
All of that junk.
Events.
Oh, real work.
Yes.
I don't care about that. Tell me about the charity work. What's been cracking in the charity world?
There is so much going on right now. Well, everything that happened last week for Mandela Day is kind of just overflowing into this week. And people are saying that July is Mandela Month, right?
It is Mandela Month, and a lot of people treat it that way. They try get as much as they can do and sort of, you know, do something different every single day.
Last night, I got a bit chunky, though, because, you know, I told you about the guys that were handing out the reusable sanitary wear on Mandela Day, and they were collecting stuff. The girls have actually written letters.
To them?
Yes, to say thank you. To Chan and his wife that handed out the reusable sanitary wear to say thank you, and they mustn't stop.
Man, that's
because
cool.
It's changed their lives, and it is going to change their lives.
Well, it does, doesn't it?
Incredible.
It's a huge thing that we take for granted. I don't know if you've seen a Dis-Chem. If you go into a Dis-Chem, they've got sanitary pads,
yes,
like a little 10-pack at the till.
Yeah.
And if you buy it, then you can stick it in the...
I think they've reached 3 million.
Wow.
Their target last year, was 1.5. And they reached well over that. It was 2.5 that they reached. And I think their target this year is 4 million.
Jeepers.
I know it's insane, but it's so important.
It is important. And I think it's something that a lot of privileged people take for granted.
Exactly.
I got to go with our very own Cliff Central intern, Ruby.
Yes.
We went down to deliver sanitary pads last year, and it was around about this time that we actually did
it. It's massive.
And it was huge to see the appreciation of the kids that are getting it, because it's something that we take for granted.
Definitely.
And, you know, there's real stats.
And it's a necessity.
Well, really, there's real stats on how if these girls are not looked after. In New York, they've made them free now,
yes,
apparently.
I saw them signing.
These girls lose like 6 weeks.
Seven days a month.
And that's like 6 weeks of the... No, it's 12 weeks of the year then. 52. I'm so confused.
Yeah, it's 12 weeks a year.
12 weeks a year. Yeah. So that's sort of what that does. But it's a cool thing that you're doing, and I love all the charity stuff. This week, you and I are doing something massive for charity.
I'm so excited.
We're raising 40 million rand.
Just, you know, just 40 million rand.
On Thursday, Kerry and I... are partaking in the CEO sleepout. We're not raising 40 million rand ourselves.
No.
But we are part of it, and I'm quite excited.
Little ambassadors.
We're little ambassadors. We are going to be sleeping on Nelson Mandela Bridge on Thursday, and the weather as it is now, it's going to be freaking cold.
I know, right?
But we're not afraid, because we're doing it all for a good cause. And there's really cool stuff around it as well, so we're going to talk about this after the show, because I told you that we need to do it.
I'm so excited.
But, like, we get like an e-wallet thing when we arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to put money on our e-wallet, we have to sell our books, which is not really selling because we're donating. And it's all fake money.
Yeah.
So we need to bring...
Like Monopoly.
Yeah, like Monopoly. Yeah. So we need to bring books to give away on the bridge. And then those books are all going to go to underprivileged schools afterwards. So maybe try bring something educational. Don't bring like Mills and Boone.
Mills and Boone, really.
Bring something a little bit more educational or child-friendly.
Yes.
That's sort of what you need to do.
I'll just bring the books that I was reading when I was in school.
Tick the box.
Yes.
And you can bring two or more. So if you want to bring more, you can. And then we also need to bring clothing to give away, but clothing that is still wearable.
Yes.
So not like the jeans that I'm wearing.
No, Brent, sorry.
No, not torn up jeans. We need to bring stuff that can actually be given away to people who need it.
Yes.
And then you and I are going to be interviewing CEOs. So if you guys want to tune into a rad show, on Thursday night, we're going to be live from Nelson Mandela Bridge.
Yay!
And you can listen to Kerry and I interview amazing celebrities and CEOs.
It's going to be like speed dating.
Man, you can be en route with us to raise 40 million rand. Yussie. Rons. Isn't that crazy? One of the other things that I wanted to touch on in our conversation catch-up is good old Gugu Zulu, hero, South African inspiration.
Today's the day, hey?
It starts today. Yes. So for those of you that don't know, his memorial is at Kyalami Racetrack today at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
And then tomorrow is a private family affair. And on Thursday is the big funeral, which is in Rhema Church. And it's incredibly sad. I mean, I did a little bit of a thing for him last week on the show. He was one of my good friends, and we love him and miss him, and he's an incredible human being. That's all I want to catch up with. I'm looking at the producer's lounge. Are we ready with Rian and Vasti? No. So Rian and Vasti are still on a boat. What I think we should do, Kay, is what we do every week around about this time, when we're not phoning Rian. we are going to go into our top five, I think.
Yes.
Every week we bring you the top five trending good news stories for the week. And it's all about the good stuff. It's all about what's happening and
in
all
the
of those
world,
good things.
In South Africa. Wow, okay.
I've got the music playing on the wrong thing. We're not entirely sure. There we go. I've just learned how to use the desk. Right. So every week we troll the internet to find you the top five trending good news stories for this week. And this week is no different. So let's start, Wolf, with number five.
So, when I read this, I was like, what? The SABC screened a full-day protest against itself, but didn't know about it. So, all the presenters throughout the day, so news anchors, presenters, and throughout the day, were all wearing black.
The whole day?
The whole day.
And they were
protesting. It was silent. Nobody knew except for them. And there was no paper trail, so there's nobody to blame.
I mean, it's difficult because they fired those four or eight SABC guys. And the news has just actually broke, if we can just give you an update. The Labour Court has ruled that the SABC staff who were fired have to be reinstated.
Really?
Just broke right now. So the protest, I mean, it works. It's solidarity.
Of course.
Everybody's standing together. And the court's
doing the right thing.
It's all about doing the right thing.
Yes.
I feel very sorry. And actually, I don't. We're very lucky here at Cliff Central because we're on radio. So we can speak about whatever we want to. We can sort of bring you whatever.
You can say the word cuck as well.
We say it all the time. And you can also say the other word.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. It's the only place where you can really just tune in and get the freedom of speech and opinion. And we're not political biased. We don't get paid to say certain things about whatever. We're here to bring you the real deal. And every show on Cliff Central does that. I mean, we're quite... The good stuff focuses on good news, but if you had to listen to like the Renegade reports,
whoa,
god damn, you're gonna get some interesting stuff happening there, and that's the reality. We live in a world where the media is we consume media in whatever way we can. 2016 is not the year to try and control what people hear, see, or do. They'll just go elsewhere, which is good for us.
Definitely,
it's good for us. What do we have at number four?
A community developed. Developed group are changing their environment one garden at a time.
How cool is this story?
I know. A small group of committed conservationists, activists, food growers, and environmental students are making massive changes in their community and for the environment.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
It is, and it's so important.
Well, the thing is that they teach their communities how to make sustainable gardens for themselves.
Yes.
Edible gardens.
Yes.
So instead of just using your land for nothing, they sort of turn it into a space where these guys are able to get their food and like, you know.
Grow their food, sell their food.
Make stuff for themselves.
Exactly. And teach others about growing as well.
It's very important. And they're doing it for a whole community. And what I like about this story is that it's trending around South Africa. So all of a sudden, everybody else is going, hey, why aren't we also doing the same thing?
Yes.
Like, we also need to get training.
I've got friends as well. I've got friends that live off their gardens. So everything that they cook, basically, comes from their garden.
That makes me so jealous.
I know. And you should see it. Their gardens are like...
In my estate, at one stage, I contacted them because I wanted to get chickens.
Oh, dear.
Don't look at me like I'm mad. I wanted to get chickens so that I could have fresh eggs and I knew where the eggs were coming from because it would be organic, right?
Oh, so you want to turn your estate into a farm.
Just my
farm
house.
Estate.
Just my house.
Oh, just you. You want chickens just at your house?
I just wanted like three chickens.
Oh, good luck, huh?
And I still said to them, I don't want a male because
then everybody will have chickens.
No, that's not what I was thinking of. Because they make that racket at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Know.
So I was like, I don't want a male.
I
just want the females and they'll lay eggs and we'll all live happily ever after. And they said to me, we cannot have female chickens because apparently they make the worst noise when they're laying eggs.
Really?
apparently it's not nice to hear.
I've had chickens. Oh, so it sounds like they're being murdered.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they told me that we're not allowed any chickens. I'm not allowed to keep them. But organic, yes. I've got a herb garden. Yes. I've got a big lemon tree.
It's awesome.
I've got olive things.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I really feel that the garden needs to be used to eat off because, exactly. You know, and it's always healthier when you it's
is
better.
Healthier.
It feels is. Better. If you take a lemon from like, I'm not going to, put a store down.
Yes.
But if you take a lemon and you squeeze the lemon that mm-hmm. you bought in the store,
it's like dehydrated.
There's not much there.
No.
If you take a lemon out of my garden,
it's amazing.
It's crazy amazing how much lemon juice comes out of it.
And it tastes different.
So yeah, I dig, you know, change your garden to be sustainable. So a lot of corporates, we last year Nelson Mandela Day, we interviewed a couple of corporates who had turned their gardens into sustainable gardens that were feeding their communities, which was pretty damn rad.
A lot of people did that for Mandela Day this year.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What do we have at number three?
South Africa's Got Talent star signed with US record label. SA's Got Talent 2015 finalist and first ever Golden Buzzer star, Henno Williams, has been signed by New York-based music executive Kevin Lyles. How do you say it? Lyles.
That's
okay, so when I watched his video, I was like, how old is this boy, actually? Because he's singing about this girl and his love and his beauty. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he's about 9 years old, but he's actually 13.
He's 13, and there was a lot of...
And it's beautiful, though. He's so talented.
It's a cool song. I mean, I can play you a snippet if you guys want to hear it.
The next Justin Biebs.
Justin Biebs, whatever. This is it. This is it. This is him doing his thing. Yeah, he's got a little voice on him. He got a little bit of backlash for it on social media. People were saying that he is too young
to be
signed.
Really?
But didn't Justin Bieber get signed at like 12, 13?
Yeah, he was very young. I think he was... No, actually, I think he was about 15.
So,
14.
I mean,
he was 14.
It is what it is, right? Mm. It is what it is.
Jealousy makes you nasty.
We're proud of him. We don't mind exporting our goods.
And he comes from here. And he's really talented. The guy's playing the piano.
We don't. So I'm going to send you guys the video. We're going to put it up online so you can see it. He's really young and he like plays the piano and he gets things going and the girls are all swooning for him. And he's got an international US label that has signed him up.
I know, exactly.
That's big news, man. That's big news. What do we have at number two?
India just planted 50 million trees in 24 hours. In the first real show of 6 billion commitment Reforest India,
how?
The country planted nearly 50 million trees in under 24 hours.
50 million?
Yes.
No, man.
50 million trees. Why are we not planting 50 million trees?
Yeah, look, look, India, everywhere needs it, right?
Yes.
So if you look at the cities and how things are busy growing mm-hmm. and they're building all these buildings and there's all these townhouses going up and they're removing all the trees, what they need to do more of is plant more greenery because mm-hmm. I think it's healthier. I don't think it is healthier for the environment. The only thing that I read in this article is that there's a huge chance of mortality?
Mm.
Is that the right word? Because the trees might not make it.
Yeah.
Because they're not close to water and it hasn't really been thought out.
And they're just randomly planted.
The Indian government has put in provisions to try and get all 50 million trees to grow.
Sure.
We should do that.
That's a lot of trees, though.
I think we should start a tree planting trend in South Africa.
That's like one tree per person. Yeah.
Wow.
Think about it. One tree per person that lives in South Africa that we know of.
Does South Africa still have an Arbor Day? Do you remember at school?
Yes.
We used to have an Arbor Day.
I'm sure we have Arbor Day. No, we do have Arbor Day.
And then we all had to go and plant trees together.
And they teach you how to plant a tree.
Yeah.
And then you plant a tree.
Do you think that it's quite silly? Because in my school, it was always like maybe there's 4,000 children in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And every year, we would only plant...
That's a big school.
Well, it's just a number
that... 1,000.
Okay, 1,000. There was 1,000 kids in the school.
Mm.
I don't know the kids' sizes. So, 1,000 kids in the school, but we would only plant one tree a year. It's not very good odds.
And the whole school is watching you plant that tree.
I don't think it's very good odds. Like, if we did it the other way around, if 1,000 kids each planted
a tree,
that makes more sense to me.
Then your school grounds are not big enough.
But go to the park, like plant it anywhere.
Or plant one tree per standard or grade.
No. I'm going to go with one. I'm an optimist here. One tree per person can change the world. Hashtag
Brent,
that shit.
Then you know what? We should plant one tree per person in South Africa, and that's 50 million trees. Let's go for 50 million trees, okay?
I agree.
One per person.
I mean, our South African governments are so fantastic. So if the South African government is listening right now, the ecology side, we should all go planting trees. I think that's a great idea.
Yep.
I'm going to write to them.
Good.
I'll make another petition.
All right.
We're going to put the story online so you can see the video and see everybody planting trees and actually read the stats on how it's going to make a difference, because that's the important part. We are being funny here, but realistically, that is the important part. What do we have at number one?
Good Samaritan helps get 7-year-old new heart. This is why being an organ donor is so important.
There were two stories that were trending last week with regards to organ donor.
And
the eyes and this little kid with the heart. Yes. And I must tell you, that I got to meet Jenna Lowe. I'm friends with Fawn Rogers. We speak about it often, the organ donor side of South Africa. It is so vitally important that you should be an organ donor. If you're not, what the hell is wrong with you? They say, there was someone that said that perhaps what we should do is be born organ donors, and only if you want to be removed, then you put the thing in to get removed. Because then you know. If you're not an organ donor right now and you get into a car accident, then you shouldn't be allowed to ask for someone else's organs. If you haven't signed up, that's how important this is. There's less than, it's like out of the 50 million people in South Africa, there's less than 400,000 people that are organ donors.
Shocking.
So I just think it's important. And this story highlights that. It highlights that. Do we have Rian and Vasti on the line?
Let's do it.
So that's the number one story. We're going to put all of those stories online so you can read all about them and you can hear what's going on. I'm so excited to speak to these two. They are in the sea, I think. I don't know what's going on. No, we've lost them for a second. I'll sort of give the background. Rian Mansur is an incredible South African who is a world adventurer and has a couple of Guinness World Records for what he's done. One of the amazing things that he did is he circumnavigated the African continent on a bicycle a couple of years ago, on a bicycle around the whole of the African continent. It took him 2 years to do, and he wrote a book about it, which is the most interesting storytelling of how he met different cultures.
I'm sure it must be so exciting but scary at the same time.
Well, I guess if you're in a, like, he's a real version of Bear Grylls. There's no cameras following this guy. And the stories that come out of the book are just absolutely phenomenal. He then took his fiance, who was his fiance at the time, Vasti. They're now married. He took Vasti, it was about 2 years ago. And they climbed in, I'm going to call it a kayak, but it's a canoe-ish something.
Tiny little swimming dude.
It's smaller than a car. Yes, like smaller than a little car. And they took this kayaking thing and they rode from Africa to New York. It took them a little under 4 months to do. And no assistance, so they had no boats around them, no cameras, no nothing, like sort of looking after them. And they did this trip by themselves. So they got married at the beginning of the year.
They did.
And they decided for the honeymoon they were going to row to Hawaii. I think we've got them on the line all the way on a satellite phone. Guys, Ria and Vasti, can you hear me?
You bring time and you're free.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to speak to you guys. I am blown away. Where are you?
Man, if you look at a map on this little globe, we're about 1,000 kilometers into the Pacific Ocean off LA.
Okay, so the line is a little bit crackly, but he just said he's 1,000 kilometers in the Pacific Ocean, literally in the middle of nowhere. Him and Vasti are on their kayaky boat. I'm giving it the wrong name. Rian must probably wants to kill me. Rian, is it nighttime or daytime there?
No, it's night time now. It's about 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, my word.
Pitch dark. I'm sitting out on the deck of the boat, and it's a little bit warmer now than it was a week ago, but it's still cold and stuff, man. We had a tough day today.
And how's the trip going, Rian? I mean, you guys left a little over a week ago. How is it on the water? Are you coping okay? What's been happening?
Yeah, Brent, it's not the ideal way to spend a honeymoon. That's sort of the first thing I would tell people. The romantic idea is went out the window the first day. And the second day we had this capsize in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, pitch, pitch dark. We were both asleep. A wave hit us. It was like a car accident. The boat was picked up and thrown over. Yes, we were upside down. I cut my head open. We had to get the boat back onto its in its right way. It was a rude, rude wake-up call. So currently I still have a cut head, but a little bit better. But a very new hairstyle.
But Rian, I can only imagine, right? So you guys have chosen to do this, to make your way down to Hawaii. It's intense, and what you're doing is absolutely phenomenal. But I don't think there's anybody else on the history of the world that will have an amazing honeymoon stories like you guys are going to catch while you're out in the water.
You know, the thing was that when I started this little career of mine, you know, Fosse's an advocate, so she's got a real job. For me and my little adventure job, I had one goal, but it was nothing more than that. Hey, 15 years ago, I said if nobody likes this career that I've taken on, at least we'll have good stories for my grandchildren one day. And I think, come on, who around a dinner table is going to beat this? For a honeymoon story.
Well, exactly. And that's why we're so excited to be following the journey and to be catching up with you guys while you're on this trip. Alright, so how much longer do we have to go before we get to where you can actually put your feet up and rest?
Hey, Brent, today was a milestone for us. We passed the 600 nautical miles mark, which is the quarter way. We've got two warm beers waiting for us for halfway. And that's the only celebration we take with for this journey. But in about another 600 miles, we'll be celebrating halfway. But there's two. This is the most tropical storms that this coast has seen in history up to this day. So there hasn't been this many tropical storms. If people go onto Weather Channel, they'll see the hurricanes that have developed this this season already. I think they're at G. So, you know, they're 5-6 into a season, which is horrendous for this time. Hurricanes only should start in about a month or two's time. So we're just holding thumbs that it's going to be easy going. But, hey, Greg, we chose to be in the 6-meter craft. We're in the open ocean where tankers and bigger ships battle. But yeah, that's not the reason we do. We're not doing it for clean part, eh? So we are nervous. I mean, shame. You know, for Fusty and myself, we sit sometimes, like today, even in have sobering moments. We just realize, hey, we sometimes feel we've bitten off more than we can chew. But, yo, Brent, it's going to be amazing, eh? I mean, just imagine us, Pearl Harbor, going in there, stopping the boat, and then actually getting off and knowing what we have done. And
man,
that's the goal, man. It's like...
Rian, you have the whole of Cliff Central and the whole of South Africa that are behind you and voting for you and really just following your trip and all excited for when you get to the halfway mark and even more so when you dock back on land. We're going to be following the trip all the way, and I'm just, please keep safe and you know, keep rowing.
Cheers, man. Hey, listen, thank you. All the guys there at Cliff Central, you guys are good guys, man, and thanks for the support. Well, people who send messages, keep sending them. I mean, we don't get them. We just relayed some, but keep sending them, please.
We're going to send all the messages of hope. Rian Vasti, we love you. It's absolutely incredible. I've got chills.
My
we just
heart
spoke
is racing.
Yeah, so it's...
And I've got this picture in my head of these people that are like in the middle of nowhere.
It's literally the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the ocean.
It's so dark.
The crazy thing is, you know, that you don't know how crazy it is until you actually speak to them. I look
so
forward.
Scary.
We're going to catch up with them every week, so I look forward to sort of seeing where they are next week and following the trip. We love Rian and Vasti. They are just absolutely
good
crazy.
Good job, and congratulations.
Best honeymoon ever. This is the good
Gee
stuff
whiz.
On Cliff Central. Man, I still can't get over the interview with Rian and Vasti.
I'm still like, I'm in shock.
They're 1,000 kilometers into the Pacific Ocean in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of night.
Black.
Pitch black. There's no lights. For realsies.
And No. It sounds like a horror movie.
No, but they're doing it all for a good cause. Yes, and it's inspirational people like that that we love hearing from and speaking to. And it's no different that we get to interview other inspirational people, because that's what the show is all about. We've got Stella and Nicholas joining us from the Woodrock Animal Rescue Center. I made a little bit of a mishap at the beginning of the show when I said Charmaine was joining us. Charmaine actually works there, and she booked you guys.
That's correct.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charmaine.
Thanks, Charmaine.
Charmaine, you rock. Thanks for sorting this out. Sorry that I don't read my emails properly. I'm not great at admin, which is my own fault. It's amazing having you in the studio. I think for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit what it is that you guys do?
Okay, I might ramble here because I get very excited. I've never lost the passion after 27 years.
I think that's exciting just to start off with, that you haven't.
No,
and you can't see her, but she really is excited.
It's just every day is a new day for us at Woodrock. We're home to 150 dogs, predominantly a dog shelter, but we also handle ducks, chickens, donkeys, pigs, cats. We get monkeys coming across to us. We get cows. Every rescue that crosses our path without a voice, without a cause, we're there for them.
That's amazing. Where are you guys based?
We're based on the R511 in Hennops River Valley, which you want to say, okay, people think we've taken them to the Breeder River, but it's actually between Dipsluit and Attridgeville.
Mm. Yep.
So our job is rather, rather hard because you're talking about really the voiceless.
Wow.
I grew up there.
It's on the way to the dam, you know.
Yes, yeah, the Vol Dam.
Yeah, it's the way that you go when you're on your way to the Vol Dam.
Heart of
Pierce
Dam.
I'm sending everybody the wrong way. What's going on here? It's Heart of Pierce Dam, and also at the Hennops 4x4 Trail, which I've been to before. All right, so you've done something called the Paw Prints on My Heart book.
Yes.
Which you've just launched.
We've just launched it. It was a lady's brainchild by the name of Maria Diacha. And when she approached us, I thought, yeah, can she? Let's see it happen. 60 stories later, and these stories make you cry. It is almost a kiddie's bedtime story. All good happenings, dogs and animals and cats and birds that have been taken out of compromised circumstances and have added value to your life unconditionally.
Man, not only it sounds like an incredible book because it does have those stories and it is South Africa. And it's all real.
That's exactly.
But also it raises awareness as to the actual problem.
Mm-hmm. Completely. And 100%. It was a fight to get stories in the book because people were begging to have these stories because every animal to you is a hero.
Yeah.
And has changed your life and enriched your life.
How did you pick them out of?
I didn't. It would have been just far too hard for her, you know, because I would have wanted all my survivors in. So we had to give the public an opportunity and a forum as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the public got to choose and there were 60 stories that got put in there.
Yes.
Where is the book? How do we get our hands on the book?
Okay, we've launched the book 2 weeks ago and the book will be at 10 different vets, and it's also on our website. It's going to be quite difficult initially to actually get the book money to be in control. Mm. So how we decided to do it is you actually have to buy 5 books from us and do the transfer and then sell those books or give them away as gifts.
That's a good idea.
And it's a paperback. And it really is. It's a fabulous story. There's one story in there that just I don't think should be read out to children, but it's really a kiddie's book.
Well, can you give us like one of the stories just so we have an idea?
Well, the one story that strikes a chord with Nicholas and myself, and I actually it's hard for me to actually say the story because I tend to cry at the end of it. It's a dog that was thrown into the river in a potato sack wound around with wire, and Heidi lay on the banks of a little river, the Hennops River, for 3 days, and the bulldozers in the surrounds could hear this animal crying, and eventually they went for a walk, and Heidi, the survivor, had actually bitten her way. Thank goodness we were having a drought, it was in our favor, had bitten her way through the sack, and had now found that she had a voice, and she was crying, help me, and we then brought her over to the shelter, and Nicholas and my 5 kennel hands were cutting open the gut, and the tears were just running down everybody's face. The end of the story is that Heidi actually had to have chemotherapy, and I was having chemotherapy at the same time as her, and we actually fought our battle together and survived. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yes. I've got a little bit of a lump in my throat. Yeah. Kerry's not saying anything because she cries really easily, so I'm sure she's trying to hold
I'm
it back.
Breathing.
I don't want to give any more away, because if you give too many stories away, then people might not buy. We want them to buy the book. That's what we want them to do. So what is your website? How do people go and sort of get the book and pay for the book and order
it? Okay, so we'll have it at 10 different vets. Facebook is the way to go as well. It's on our website. Website is www.woodrockanimalrescue.com. And our Facebook page is very prolific, 46,000 followers, and extremely active. I think sometimes we're barking on the Facebook page because we can't hold our back our excitement with how beautiful our animals are. And I'm really, really saying, I feel like boastful when I say our animals are so beautiful and they're so special, and we know each and every one of their personality and name. People are shocked when they say, do you really know every dog's name? Yes, we do.
Absolutely amazing. Yes. It's great having you here. I'm excited to sort of get this out there. I'm going to write a little article this afternoon on goodthingsguy.com, which is my little website that I run.
Thanks, Brent.
Just to get a bit of exposure and to really get the good stories out there. I think it's all about the good stuff. And
there's always so much sadness
amazing.
And so much, like, at the end of the day, like, but this book is like a hero story.
And that's exactly what South Africa needs. South Africa
happy
needs
happy endings.
Happy endings, but still raising awareness. So I think what you guys are doing is really cool.
Thank you.
You also do adoptions and whatnot at the center. So I'm going to put all of that online
as well.
So that
that'll be fantastic.
Get hold of you and sort of get all these animals forever home.
You're a superstar.
Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Man. Jam-packed show today, Kerr.
I know, it's so exciting. I'm having such fun.
Yeah, no, Kerry's flippin' excited. So, we have someone from a company called The Character Company. His name's Yaku. And Kerry is so excited to meet him. Apparently, she's been wanting to meet you forever.
Well, because there's so much happening for girls. What about the boys?
Okay, so maybe let's explain, because we don't know where you're going with this. Yaku, welcome to The Good Stuff.
Thank you very much.
If you could just explain what you guys do.
The Character Company is a long-term mentorship program for young boys that grow up with absent fathers.
Yes.
So, you know, we just realized that there's such a massive impact on our society because there are just not enough dads around that are teaching our children morals, and especially with boys. And so as boys grow up, they need that guidance and that, you know, just advice and those role models, and they're not there. And so we're trying to step a little bit into that gap, provide some kind of a father figure or positive male role model so that we can raise some good men so that women and children can be treated better.
And it is, I mean, Kerry's passionate about it. I think it's a huge problem. The world agrees that it's a huge problem, that there's many of these father figures that are missing. Why did you get into this?
I grew up with an absent father, and I think over the time I've just realized that there was a lot of stuff that in my life that would have been different if I...
Missing.
Yeah, there was stuff missing. And often when you're a child in that circumstances, you don't really realize what the problem is. I've been in community development work for the last 15 years, and in there I've also seen the impact of children growing up without families, but definitely fathers. And it's a problem that's very, very big and have a big impact on girls as well. We can't deal in that space. We figure that if we can raise boys to be good men, then we are directly impacting women and children.
So Kerry deals with all the girl stuff. I think what you're doing, and it's exactly what you're saying, is if you teach kids the right morals and values from a young age and they have these father figures to look up to, then ideally they would become incredible father figures.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is sort of, you're breaking the cycle.
We have to. We simply have to. Yes.
How long ago did you start the Character Company?
Character Company is about 4 years old now. The concept was started many, many years ago. Just, you know, as I grew up and as I see these things and as I worked with children with absent fathers. And every day now, you know, the impact every day when I spend time with these boys, I just realize more and more the privilege of being in their lives, but also the burden of just realizing how enormous that gap is. It's unbelievable. It's like a small, you can't see it, but it's a small gap, but it takes so much to fill it.
Yeah.
And it can only be filled by dad. That's the problem. You know,
moms are amazing. Single moms are amazing, but, you know.
Oh, we work with the most amazing single moms, but they are the best dads they can be.
Yes.
And the problem with that is that these boys grow up and there's something as a boy that you need that mom just can't give you. And it causes frustration and you know, that turns into anger and, you know, and there's no one there to guide you and give you those things. And to be out there with these boys and just see that in them,
A lot of them don't want to talk to mom.
It's really, I'm sitting here and the first thing I'm thinking is it's something that I have taken for granted. Mm. And maybe I'm more privileged than most because my parents got divorced, which is not why I'm privileged, but I had two dads.
Yes.
So I had my dad and then I had my stepdad and I had these two amazing father figures to look up to who really just made me the man I am today. Yeah. So I'm actually feeling a little bit like lump in my throat.
You should phone
for my dad. I'm going to phone them straight after the show.
I tell you that it is, you are privileged because the more we work in the space, also the more I realize how few men growing up had that privilege.
Mm.
There's the I think not only statistics, but if you spend time in that space, you just realize.
And stepdads that take on that role.
Yeah,
it's flipping.
I mean, dad's
incredible.
Not. Yeah, it's not. You know, it's not biological. I mean, it's biological as a father. You need a dad, and that could be anyone.
Anyone can be a father, but it takes someone really special to be a dad.
I think maybe
that's what we need to say. Where are you guys based?
Well, we are based all over. Our office is kind of at home in Northwold. We pick our boys at the moment in our program literally all over Joburg.
Mm.
We have capacity issues because there's not enough men out there that are prepared to make commitments for this. We work with small groups of boys at a time, so five boys in a group, and because it's very intense relationship building and it's long term. So,
you're talking about relationship building and there's dads that come on board. What sort of awareness and activities do you do with these kids to really just get the bonds and sort of get it going?
Well, when you start working with boys, you realize that you have their attention span is about 3 minutes and 12 seconds at best. So the stuff we do are very active things. So, you know, we work with five very strong values that we're trying to build into their lives. And so all the time we reinforce that, but we do it through activity. So, so this week we're at Fight Club. Next week, we're going probably play ball in the park a bit, depending on the weather. Then we go cycling.
And is it every weekend?
Every week. So
every week.
We see the boys every week after school. So small groups of five. So we see 30 boys during the week.
Sure.
Some of them can't make it in the week. And then we do activities on the weekends. And then we'll mix the groups up a bit. And then sometimes moms can come with and the siblings can come with. And then we do a lot of camps. We just finished four camps in the last holiday.
Man, I'm excited now. The guys, the dads that are getting involved, it's all volunteer based.
We've recently added a couple of guys to the program, which has been really great. It's probably one of the biggest challenges. You know, when you have out of 100 men, 10 will pick up the phone and say, I would love to get involved. And out of those 10, you'll find one that can make a commitment.
I work with charities, and one of the biggest things you see is when you go into a charity home or a space where there's orphans, the little kids are always excited to see whoever comes because it's new and it's fresh and it's really cool. The older kids are generally a bit more like, blah, you're here, I'm not going to see you again. That's the reality of volunteer work, right?
And hopefully as well that you can get to a stage where you're going to have like an alumni where the younger boys are going to grow up to become mentors of your new ones.
We do. And you know, because the youngest boy in our program is 4, and the oldest is about 12, 13. So sometimes, like on camps, you know, you can start seeing them playing that role.
Yes.
And because this is long-term mentorship, so our requirements on volunteers or mentors, as we call them, it's quite high. You can't just come in today and then we'll see you maybe again 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Because you start building relationships.
Cool. I think what you're doing is really, 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 really phenomenal. And thank you for putting this together. If people want to get involved, if they want to volunteer their time, if they want to become those dads, those father figures, if they have got farms that are a little bit out of the way that you can use as a camping ground, how do they get involved?
They can send me an SMS on cell phone, which is 084 777 7114. We're on Facebook. We've got a very active Facebook page. Our website's thecharactercompany.co.za, and then they can send us an email if they remember. It's ch@rector.co.za, so it spells character.co.za.
Absolutely amazing. We're going to put all of that online. After the show, what I do, I run a little website called, I call it little, it's actually not, it's a real
it's
business
massive.
Now. It's last month we saw over 1 million subscribers come to Good Things, guys. So, round of applause for that. Good news personified. So after the show, every week we write articles on the guests and we put all of this information both on Good Things Guy and cliffcentral.com. So everybody will be able to get the information and get involved. It's been amazing having you on the show. And it's cool. Kerry, such cool stuff to speak about.
It's my head is working now, hey?
Okay. But there's something that we need to really bring to the forefront because there's only two nights left. Two sleeps left. Damien's actually pulling a funny face here because I think he's not ready for the cold. He's not dressed for the cold.
Not
the
right Oak, now, anyway.
The Oak is in like a little t-shirt thing, but he's ready for some sleep out. On Thursday, the 28th of July, South Africa is coming together to raise over 40 million rand in one night. We do this every time. Every time we say 40 million rand in one night. There's going to be a whole bunch of CEOs that are sleeping on Nelson Mandela Bridge. Plus, there's a whole bunch of corporates and individuals that have taken to the streets and will be doing something called hashtag sympathy sleep out. And the whole idea is, man, I want to support the sympathy. I want to support the CEO sleep out, but I'm going to do it on my own sort of terms. And Damien is one of those guys that is supporting the sympathy sleep out. I'm going to switch your microphone on.
He's so excited.
Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome. Right. So I got a briefing sheet with what you do and how you do it and all of those good things. What do you do?
Well, actually, I'm a lecturer at City Varsity. I teach drama. That's about it. That's what I do at the moment. But like how I got involved with this thing was that I became very close with a lot of the transients that are around town, especially the ones that are by the office.
Wow.
And I learned a lot about them. I learned a lot about their histories and about like what kind of people they were. And then I saw the sympathy sleep out and I said, hey, dude, okay, this is cool. I can make a plan with this. This is awesome. And I even tried to make it so that we'd have like poetry and stuff at the actual bridge event. But apparently everything was sorted out. So
yeah, no, the way that you need to do that now is put that in the suggestion box this year for next year, because they literally sort things out a year in advance. But that's cool. That's cool. All right. So you heard about it. You'd seen all the homelessness around your area and you've thought to yourself, I can get involved with the sympathy sleep out.
Yeah, it's pretty much what I did. How I signed up was actually pretty like a bit of a joke, because I went onto the sites and I saw how like all the companies and all the people that were doing it. And I saw that no one was actually looking out for the real homeless. Everyone was going for like organizations or charities and stuff like that. And I was like, well, where's all the awareness for those guys that I know? Where's all their help? So I decided to take it on myself.
Wow. Yeah.
And what's the plan? So on Thursday night, it's the 28th of July, you're going to be sleeping out, I'm guessing.
Yes.
You're going to be sleeping out. And what's the plan for the evening?
Well, I'm not actually too sure, because I've made a pact with some of the guys that they're going to take me to a shelter and show me what it's like. And
the
how
actual homeless guys?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
So I'm going to go find a shelter, because apparently it's quite horrendous, like how they live. And
so you're probably going to experience it.
Yeah, apparently like shoes get stolen.
It's quite hectic. I've heard stories about the homelessness and a lot of there was a story down in Cape Town with a guy who had built his bed underneath a balcony on Sea Point.
I saw, yes.
And the reason he did that and he didn't want to go to a homeless shelter is exactly for that reason. Because during the middle of the night you get robbed and sort of crazy things happen. So you're going to go experience this. Is there a way we are going to be following you. So,
yes.
So as Cliff Central, we're live broadcasting from the bridge on the evening, and we're going to be phoning all the people that we've interviewed over the past 10 weeks. So you're one of them. I'm going to want to hear some harrowing stories from wherever you are.
So that's if I still have my phone.
I was just about to say the same thing.
But yeah, actually, like also on the evening, I got together a whole lot of the music, all the music venues from venues are from around Joburg, that we're going to be doing a blanket drive.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I've gotten Sundowners, Albertson, Rumors, the Good Luck Bar, and it's the old Smugglers. It's called Duke's Saloon or something now. So if anyone wants to go out for a night and, you know, bring some awareness and do a cool thing, you can take blankets and drop off blankets and stuff everywhere. There's going to be more information on my social media sites and everything.
Cool. We'll get to the social media site now. What I want to know from you is you've taken upon yourself to raise awareness for homelessness on the evening. Do you really think that something like the CEO sleep out forget the money, take away the 40 million that's going to education, because that's definitely going to make a difference. Do you think a whole bunch of CEOs, the media, all these people that are getting involved is making awareness and sort of driving a difference?
Yeah, in a way it is. I think even like by me doing this, I'm hopefully people will hear and be like, okay, you know, I can do that. I can go and make a change. I don't have to like do it in a group. I don't have to be part of something to do it. That I can go and make a change. And then also it comes down to like to empathy. And it's not just, you know, oh, look, we're going to donate all this money and we're going to do all this for these people. It's also understanding that they are people.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys will let me, I have a poem that was written by one of the
Go for it.
Go for it. Okay.
Go for it. Okay.
And he'd be really happy to like know that I put this on air for him.
So you're going to be doing a poem that was written by a homeless person.
Yes.
One of the biggest things that I've said through this whole experience of being part of the CEO Sleep Out is that as human beings, as South Africans, we're faced with so much poverty, with so much homelessness that we become numb to it. And the only thing that I believe, one of the things that the CEO Sleep Out has done for me has brought awareness for me. And if it can bring an awareness for me and I've got a platform to talk about it, it'll bring awareness for other people. So go, we're going to hear a poem.
Okay.
Get ready, come closer to the microphone.
Cool.
And 3, 2, 1, the stage is yours.
This is a poem by Silan Padiachi, and it goes a little something like this. Ma, I am grateful for the day you gave birth to me. I know it was yours. If it was yours, you would have given the whole earth to me. It's said to be a mother is a blessing, but sometimes a curse I see. When I feel bad, you see me sad and feel worse for me. You never let us down, and if accidentally you did, that would be a first for me. You did your fair share of a mother's work, trying to stop me from growing up to be a young jerk, and keep me out of all the joints where the thugs lurk. Somebody could have all the money, jewels, and precious things from the whole earth, but they still won't have a cent compared to my mother's worth. 6 kids you had in all, you were there for our every beck and call. Made sure we didn't try to run before we could crawl, and told us, don't try to fly if you're too afraid to fall. But if you do fall, get up, dust yourself off, stand proud, stand tall. For you, Ma, there's never a gift too big or a compliment too small, because you really and truly deserve it all. So once the world gets a dose of my potion, I'll get you a big house overlooking the ocean. You can cruise around town in the latest S-Class Mercedes, drop the top down and cruise around with your ladies. You can tell them, this is just a little gift from one of my babies. I just want to make you happy and show how I appreciate how great you made me.
Man, oh sure. Man, powerful stuff. Super powerful stuff.
So that's it. People need to realize that these aren't just these robots or these things on the side of the road, that they are people. They've got families. They have choices that they made, maybe that they made a few bad ones. Maybe someone made a bad choice for them. I think the best that we as South Africans can do is to acknowledge them.
Mm.
You know, instead of if the guy comes to you in the corner and asks for 2 rand, don't just ignore him. Like, sorry, I don't have.
I think we're going to leave it on that note. It's hugely powerful, and that's what the CEO Sleep Out is all about. If they want to follow you on the night, where do they go?
You go to Feed the Worthy.
Feed the Worthy. We're going to put that online as well. We've got 2 nights to go. 1 night, actually. 2 nights. I don't even know what it is. 2 nights. If you want to register for the CEO Sleep Out, you go to www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. It is that easy. I cannot believe the show is over. That was a powerful poem. We're going to put that up online so that you guys can read it for yourselves. You've tuned into the good stuff on Cliff Central. We spent the show chatting about really good things. I'm going to leave you with this. We need to stay motivated. We need to inspire others. We're in this together, and the only way we'll get through this is together. I really, really hope that all of your choices are for your hopes and not your fears.
Mm.
And that's all I say. If you want to catch more of the good stuff, you can just log on to cliffcentral.com or on .com or on to goodthingsguy.com. I don't know what I said there. That was a little bit ridiculous. That's it. The show is over. Have a terrific Tuesday, yo.
This is cliffcentral.com.